Taking a look now at researching your family's history with Barbara Banks. Barbara is a genealogist and author, longtime Wisconsin resident, and is completing a history of her grandmother right now, as a matter of fact. She regularly teaches workshops on how to do genealogical research. In fact, she just completed several of them in southern Wisconsin. So it's great to have her with us today, and I hope you'll join in with your own questions and comments. Maybe you've been doing some research on your family. Maybe you've run into some roadblocks, or maybe you've got some good tips. We'd love to hear all of that. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org, or go to the Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and we'll be able to get your question on. Barbara Banks, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be back in Madison.
Well, it's great to have you here. And, you know, I'm thinking that they're just judging from my own friends and talking to people who listen to this program, that genealogy is kind of a hot topic in a way. A lot of people interested in it.
Do you know why it is?
That's my question to you. Why do you think?
The reason why it's so hot is because you can now do genealogy at home. You don't have to go travel to England or Norway. You can do it right at your computer. It's just a click away. And I think people are getting more interested because it is something that they can do in their home. And also the younger generation's getting more involved because children love to use the computer and they're oftentimes better at it than adults. So it becomes sort of like a treasure hunt where people are looking for their ancestors. And it's so easy to do now compared to what it was when I started at the age of 11.
You started at 11.
Yes. And the reason I started at 11 is because I had no living grandparents and I wanted to know who they were. So in the baby book, there was a genealogy tree and I said, I'm going to find out who my grandparents were. And that started me on the mystery of genealogy. And I've been back to England 7 times doing research.
Oh, man. Well, that's part of the fun, I think, sometimes, isn't it?
Yes. And it's like finding a needle in a haystack. You find it, and you're so excited about finding the next link and the next link and the next link. And then all of a sudden, you've got it back to this 10th century in one line. But you know your genealogy only gets bigger as you go back. The tree blossoms out. So you must not only do your patriarch line, but also your matriarch.
Wow. Barbara Banks, our guest, if you have a question or comment, I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. What are some of the types of resources then that are available? You have many of them. I know you've got quite a nice packet of information for people who take your workshops. That really looks great.
Yes. What you must remember, there's a new program called Ancestry.com. And if you use it in your home, you're going to have to pay for it. But you can go out to all the public libraries here in the state of Wisconsin and go and do your research at the library. But did you know that Wisconsin is one of the best places for genealogy? The State Historical Society has collected more copies of biographies and everything right here, just down the street from here. I would suggest that you start with the State Historical Society, which is just at 816 State Street. And then also, if you're interested in Norwegian genealogy, there a whole nother group, the Vesterheim Genealogical Center, is on 415 West Main Street. You can go there. And the Mormons have a family history site, and you can also go to their place at 1711 University Avenue, and they also have a place over on Siegel Road to help you get started if you don't want to start on the computer itself. But you can actually just start out on Ancestry.com.
And we have a Facebook note, by the way. Judith put up a note with the main general genealogy site. So we've got that on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. There's a link to the Historical Society's genealogy webpage on the Facebook page as well. So we've got that on there, and I'm glad that we have it so that people can go quickly and find it. Michael in Belleville has a question for you or a comment. Hi, Michael. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I've been researching my family genealogy for the last 5 years, and I've gotten to the point where I'm having problems getting immigration records.
Okay.
Yes, well, there is a site on the computer that deals with immigration records. And what country is this from?
This would be from England, and I've already been on that site. It does not include New Orleans.
It does not include New Orleans. Well, you know what I think? I would think that it would be a good idea if you would go to your library and see if someone right there at the library could help you and assist you with that. I'd have to see all of your sheets to see exactly where you are in England to get that information.
Yorkshire.
Well, there should be information on the computer.
I would think.
Because all the records from England have been copied, and I would suggest now going to familyhistory.com and see about the immigration records there. Have you tried that?
I've already been there, and I'm already listed on there, and there's no immigration records.
There's no immigration records. Okay, so now have you tried some of the other family lines, not just that direct line?
Yes, it is a direct line. The surname is Parkin, P-A-R-K-I-N.
Yes. Well, sometimes if you go off on another line, don't just stay on that direct line. Go off on one of the other lines of your family, either the male line or a female line, and sometimes that you can discover that that will relate to that one later down. You sometimes have to lay that down because we concentrate so hard on it and we just can't find it at that time. But I would start working on another line and just see if it dovetails in later.
I've also tried that, and there's no listing of a mother listed for the children.
No. Well, I guess you're going to have to go to England, aren't you? Have you tried the parish records?
I've tried the parish records. I wish I could afford to go over to England. Is there a way I can find a certified genealogist over there?
Yes, and also, if you go to the Family History Center at the Mormon Church, they have copied all the parish records, and I think that would be a good start for you because they might be able to help you when they look over all your materials. You're going to have someone look at it seriously to see all the dates and that. But they went in and they copied all the parish records in the churches in England, and you can get it right out of Salt Lake City.
I've already done that, and I found the records are not correct.
They're not correct.
Correct. They are not correct.
Well, that's interesting. I'm kind of at a loss for words because I think that you're going to have to keep searching on it, but coming at it a different way than just working that direct line. I wished I had the paperwork in front of me.
Good luck, Michael. So a professional person might be able to help him out.
Yes, yes. But I would also check at the libraries and work with some of those people very closely.
Is there a case where names might be altered slightly, spellings and whatnot?
Absolutely. When I do any research, I have to have three sources before I believe anything is true. And so I go at it with census reports. As you know, people taking census spell names differently. A lot of times people pass their names down and they go from Olson, the son of Olds, and things like that. And names are always changed. Even at Ellis Island, people come in, they change their names from one to another because they want a different name than what they've had before. So it is like a treasure hunt. You don't always know what you have.
Can you address someone who's wondering why Mormons keep all of these records? Why have they been so good about collecting records?
Well, I think, again, that the Mormons keep these records in the sense that they want to know who their ancestors are, and they've been doing it for years. And then they have some rituals within the Mormon Church where I'm not knowledgeable of all of these, but I know that they do that, and I've heard the term use baptism for the dead. And so that they want to connect all of these families from time again. Also, I've had a friend say to me recently that, you know, when a person is on the theater stage, they perform for the audience out in the seats. They also perform for the actors on stage. But the most important audience they perform for is their ancestors. And when I was writing the book on my great-grandmother, I was definitely feeling that I was taking her voice and putting it on paper. So she's not here with us, but I felt very strongly that I was doing something for my ancestors.
And that's been kind of fun for you, by the way?
Yes. Well, I'm not a writer in the sense I've been trained as an artist in the visual meeting. And I asked my daughter, who teaches English at Santa Barbara University, to write it. And she said, no, I think you're more interested and you have a passion for it. And so I said, I will do that. And this woman's voice, Mary Ellen Beersley, lived out in Deansville, right by Marshall and Sun Prairie. And her daughter was raised as a teacher, and she taught Georgia O'Keeffe in first grade. Now, these women were strong women. They had an opinion. Now, their poetry might be a little sweet, but believe me, when they wrote for the newspapers, they had a woman's voice saying, we want women to have a college education. We want women to be respected. And if it wasn't for those women in that time, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Oh, so that's a great, and so you're writing, and you're writing this for yourself and your family?
Yes, I have a book right here, and I translated it all. And at first I thought I'd go through and change the grammar to update it. And something told me that it had to be in the woman's voice of 1870. And that's what I did. And I wanted to put it in all the library. So if anybody was doing research on that particular period of time, they would have a woman's voice. And that's what I did, is put it all together.
Oh, that's wonderful. Barbara Banks, our guest today here on the Ideas Network, as we talk with her about researching your family's history. Robert in Muskego, Wisconsin, on to you. Hi, Robert.
Good morning. I've done extensive, made like a family tree type thing, and I can trace back all back to my grandparents, you know, in this country.
Yes.
However, I was trying to, like I know the Ellis Island records, they have people who were on what ship and all that sort of thing, where they shipped out of. But my grandparents on both sides came prior to Ellis Island opening up. I think they came like in the early 1890s, somewhere in that period.
Okay. Yes.
And so where did I find those records? Because, like I say, Ellis Island is very, you know, inclusive, but anything before that, I can't find any information on it.
Tell you what, we're going to get to that after we take a quick break for a look at the news. We'll have the answer for you, Robert. You can hang in there if you'd like. Our guest today, Barbara Banks, genealogist and author, as we talk with her about researching your family's history here on the Ideas Network. Thanks for listening in here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here as we talk researching your family history with Barbara Banks, genealogist and author, a longtime Wisconsin resident. Great to have her along, and thank you so much for listening in. If you have a question about tracing your family's history, I hope you'll join, or maybe you've got a story or two to tell. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org. And go to our Facebook page as well. You can post a comment there at the Larry Mueller Show. And we have Robert from Muskego, Wisconsin. Barbara, whose grandparents or great-grandparents arrived to this country prior to Ellis Island, wondering how do you find out the information on them?
Okay. If you've got any, like, records in your house, old Bibles or any old obituaries that might give you a name of a place that they were born in or came from in England. And then you go on the computer and you can go to pricegen.com/English Genealogy HTML. And that gives you a lot of the English sites. But also, I would recommend you going to Cindy's List, which is one that will help you with the English genealogy. Also, thefamilyhistory.com would help. Now, I want to mention to you, too, because Google has just got into the program. In March, they've launched a new program called MOCAVO.com, and this is going to be the world's largest free genealogy search engine. And I would go to that to see if your names are in there and see if it can link you over from the United States to England. That isn't a date that goes back in like 1400s or something. So you should be able to do that.
And what? And that last one again is MOCAVO.com.
That is the new genealogy site on Google that started in March.
There we go. Thank you, Robert, for that question. Darcy in Stevens Point, we turn to you next. Hi, Darcy.
Hello. Thank you for having this topic. It's very exciting. I wanted to share a very quick story. I am fortunate to be part of a family that is already interested in ancestry, and so at a young age, I was able to read stories put together in a book along with the family tree. And one of my favorites is my great-great-grandfather was very patriotic. And to anyone who listened, he would say, America is so great. And this is, you know, America this and America that. And, you know, when it came down to it and he was, you know, sort of explaining why, he said, when I came to America, they had such a party for me, such a party. As it turns out, his boat arrived on Independence Day, and they were already celebrating. But all those years, he thought that was for him.
Oh, that's a great story.
You've written it down, I hope.
Oh, yes. It's in the book.
Oh,
great.
That's a wonderful story. And Barbara, you obviously recommend writing these things down.
Oh, I do. And I want to give you one suggestion that I discovered myself, is that I always wanted a story that my mother would have written about me. You know, we always hear our parents' critical voice of us, but wouldn't we like to know what their positive voice was? And so I wrote a story on my son, and I wrote that to him and sent the story. And he wrote back to me, he said, I never knew that you thought that way about me. I think I'll raise the bar. Now, my daughter, when I sent her a story, she said, you know, when I have those ups and downs in life and my downtime comes, I'm going to pull out the story and remember what my mother said about me. So I suggest all of you thinking about writing the stories about your children and then giving them to them on a special event, and they will appreciate it very much. And it'll also make you appreciate your children more.
Darcy, thank you again for calling with that story. Jerry in Milwaukee has a question or comment. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Well, I hear about the Mayflower in Ellis Island, but my question is this. What about African Americans? A, how much research is done on genealogy? And B, is there a website or websites that I can go into?
Sure.
To find out about African American genealogy?
Yes, there are definitely African American sites, and I was wondering if I could get to those by going through all my notes here. But what I would first do is I would again go on Ancestry.com and put your ancestors in there, the names and that, and that should come out on the regular sites. But there are definitely African sites. I wished I could just find those through all my notes here.
I'll wait.
We'll keep looking here. And in the meantime, Barbara's looking, I will remind everybody else, as you listen in, you can join in too with a question. If the lines are all filled, shoot us an email or go to the Facebook page and post something on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. We're glad to do that and glad to help you out. By the way, we also have posted some broad genealogical site databases on the website, on the Facebook page, excuse me. So it's on our Facebook page if you want to get some of them at least. Barbara has a whole raft of them, but we were at least able to post some of them for you. And Barbara, did you find anything yet?
I don't have that right at my fingertips, of which I should have put down here. But right now, what I would say to you, if you would leave your name here, then I would get back to you and send you those sites. If you could leave that with the show.
Sure.
And I would be glad to get back to that gentleman, because there's definitely African sites.
Tell you what, we lost him already. That's too bad. I'm sorry we lost him. Well, he could phone back. Call back and let us leave your email address, and Barbara can get back to you.
Yeah, I would be glad to.
Okay, so just give us a call back. And Paul in Waukesha, we're going to be on to you next. Hi, Paul.
Hello. My question is, how do I find a cousin who hasn't been seen in 20 to 30 years? The reason for knowing if he is still alive is that he's one of the inheritors of mineral rights in Western United States. I have his approximate age, and that's all I know.
Oh, okay. Now, have you gone to the library and looked up under ancestor.com?
No, I haven't.
For this person?
No, but I heard you make that suggestion earlier.
Yes, because then if you've got his name and you know his birth date approximately and where he was, they sometimes give you up-to-date information on where he'd be now in that information base.
Okay. Now, the landman who's involved with signing leases and so far, he's told me he's done extensive researches into Army records, prison records, anything he can possibly think of, and he's turned up nothing.
He may have missed on the Ancestry website.
Yeah. Right, right. And there's also some thought that perhaps he even left the country. So, you know, where we would find death records or anything is really, really difficult to
perceive. Do you have any idea what state he was in at the time?
He was born in Wisconsin.
He was born in Wisconsin, but then did he leave Wisconsin?
We don't know. We've heard rumors that he had moved out west and maybe even gone to Canada. So it's a real conundrum, I guess.
It sounds like he's a little bit like he's disappeared. But I would still go on the computers at the library, and I would get a genealogist over there, a librarian, and then start with the ancestry.com and see if the name comes up anywhere. Because also there are census records and things of that nature, but you kind of need to know the state to be able to go into that deeper. But I would look up his name and see if anything comes up on him now with his birth date.
Okay, then. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Rich emailed us from Shawano. Is there a way to share Ancestry information from Ancestry.com? They seem to block me at every turn, and a lot of my relations have tried to add information on birth dates, et cetera, and are blocked at every turn. Are we doing something wrong, or do you have a tip for them?
Did they give any reason why they were blocking him?
It doesn't say here, so I'm not sure.
Because all information, they don't just add information in this. They know that it's got some sources of proof, like three different source records. I'm wondering if they were wondering about the validation of the material that you're giving them. They need to have that kind of a backup.
Could be the validation. Okay.
Yeah.
And an email from Mary in Madison wondering if you are able to give a definition for the word inmate on a 1920 census sheet, which lists my ancestor, who was a sailor on a Washington Navy base, which had a brig as well as the regular ships in harbor. Was he a prisoner in the brig or just a sailor on board a ship?
Wow, that's a good question. I don't know the terminology during that time. It sounded like that the person might have been in prison, but it might have had a different meaning. I don't know the exact answer to that. I have to be truthful.
And Joyce emailed in Cassville to say, I traced my ancestors back to the Mayflower. I had a terrific help from the librarian at the Historical Society, who filled in my three forms of proof when they were weak. Also researching my ancestor who came from England in 1630 back to the 1100s in England. I have 1,000 years of my family tree.
Fantastic. And wasn't it fun doing it?
Oh, man, it sounds great. Emmy in Madison, your turn next. Hi, Emmy.
Hi, and hi, Barb. A couple of things. The Family History Library is no longer at 1711 University Avenue, just at Regent and Siegel, that corner.
Okay.
And then we're open Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday at, 9 to 9 on Tuesdays, 9 to 12 on Thursdays, and again at night, and then Saturday mornings at 9 to 12. Now, on the Black history, there is a very large section that the Mormon Church has put together. It's, of course, limited by the difficulties in researching Black history, but they have gotten as many records of the holdings in the south of the United States from that time period. And the other thing is that FamilySearch.org is a free website, and you should be able to get that Black history on that, as well as immigration records, ship records, and other things. And then Ancestry also has huge ship records.
Perfect.
Thank you so much, because that's the answer.
All right. Thanks.
Very good.
Thanks, Emmy. Appreciate the call very much. When searching records, census records, Ellie says, I often come across the designation J, capital J-N-O, with a last name. Do you know what that might mean? J-N-O?
It's an abbreviation.
It's a designation that comes on many names. Does not ring a bell?
I would have to look at the whole census report to see, because sometimes different census takers do different things. That isn't a standard always present.
Okay, let's go to Ken in Algoma then. Hi, Ken.
Oh, my great-grandfather came over in 1867, and by looking at the intent that he signed, I found he came through Quebec, and it gave the month and year and everything, and I found a passenger ship list. Now, he had a niece and a nephew who also came over, and I think about 1885, but I cannot find when they came over, because they came to Wisconsin, then went to Michigan, signed their intent in Michigan, and Michigan did not ask which port and month and year they came. And I've tried Ancestry, no luck. And I was wondering if there's some other indexes on passenger ship lists that are out there that Ancestry doesn't cover.
Yes, it's possible, because there are, definitely ship records, but you would have to go to that particular thing. I would, again, check with family search, because I think that you've got to find the exact passenger list. That's another difficult question, because they're found in different locations and you have to go through so many different sites to find them. It isn't just one easy answer on that one.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling. What do you do when there are when you have very common names, someone wondered?
Well, that's when you really definitely have to have three sources. Like, for instance, if you have lots of Smiths and Joneses, you've got to really look through the records carefully and look for the first and middle names are very important in that type of research. All of us have common names throughout our genealogy, but in certain areas, they branch off differently. So you have to look for three different records with the first and middle names to verify it as part of your family.
On to Pat in Legend Lake, Wisconsin. Hi, Pat.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks for calling.
Okay, she just was talking about one of the problems I have. I have no trouble with my German or Luxembourg. Well, my husband was Luxembourg. By the way, I was going to point out that the Luxembourg American Society in Belgium has a lot and lots of information about Luxembourgers.
Cool.
And they, a lot of people came here and thought they were German, and they were really from Luxembourg. So, in fact, we found somebody, found my family, my husband's family, that were in Nebraska. Their name was also Trausch. And they said, oh, we always thought we were German. And they, my father-in-law found the place down where they came from, et cetera. So, but I'm going on to the Irish part of my family now. That's the part that I have with which I have a lot of trouble. My maiden name was Sweeney. There are at least three John Sweeneys married to a Mary Sweeney in the 1860 census in Chicago. So, in fact, my Luxembourg husband said, why don't you just pick one of them and decide that's your grandfather? But I said, no, no, I'm not going to do that. My great-grandfather came supposedly, according to my aunts, about the 1840s to Chicago. So I don't know how would we find out what ship he came on. And we have no record of his dying. The great-grandmother, I know where she's buried in Chicago, but I don't know. And the other side of the Sweeney family, the Creevies, I don't know anything about them. So I would like to start working on them. I mean, this ancestry thing is wonderful. My granddaughter is very involved. And she found, on Ancestry, she found a cousin of mine in Oregon who was my grandmother's, her sister was this woman's great-grandmother or something like that. And she said... my granddaughter put in the name Sieber, and sure enough, this woman contacted my granddaughter, and I said, honest to God, I can remember my grandmother talking about relatives that moved to Oregon. So I said, I know that's true. I just love it. I was a history major, so I love it. But what help can Mrs. Banks give me with Ireland?
Judith says you should choose the richest one.
I don't think any of the Sweeneys were rich. I think most of them came during the famine, and I doubt if they were. Well, actually, they probably were richer than some of the poor people that were dying over there. But
okay.
You know, in the Chicago area, I would look and see if you could find some obituaries on those Marys, because if you could get some dates and if you could get some information from the grandfather that came over, again, dealing with birth dates, like if there was a death date record where there would be obituary about him in Chicago, there might be some indication of some more information about Ireland and that particular record. And so I would start with that because all those Marys are going to be confusion for quite a while.
Okay, there you go. Thank you very much for calling, Pat. And Sue in Beloit, we turn to you. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Had a question about how I might look to find out any information about my grandfather. He was considered to be an orphan, and he was around, I think he was born around the 1900s, and I think he was born out on the East Coast somewhere. And I think what they meant by orphan, he might have been on like on an orphan train and adopted by a family in Wisconsin. Any ideas of where I might look or how?
Oh, okay. You have his last name?
Kemp. Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, have you done any research on Ancestry.com on Kemp?
No.
I want you to go to your public library and see if you can find his name on that and start with that as a start and go to your librarian and have her help you if you're having any problems on it. It's a very easy site to work on, and it's free when you use it at the library.
Okay. And I would just start with his last name?
You start with his last name, and it'll ask for his first name, and it'll also ask approximately when you thought he was born.
Yeah, and were these legitimate adoptions? So would there be adoption records here?
There's a possibility, but you've got to start with the basic information of who he is and where he came from.
I see.
And then you go to the next step. But you've got to get that information first so that you know where to go.
Okay.
Okay, start with that.
Thanks for calling. How often does someone uncover something that totally surprises them and throws the family into an uproar, maybe?
everybody wants one of those pirates in their history, don't they? Those are the characters that people write about. So it's very interesting to see people go different directions, and sometimes people want to cover it up. But I have found that people want more of those interesting, colorful stories when they've been removed from it several generations.
Well, yeah, I know in our own family tree, we have a long history of crooks and ministers, and big families, 15 kids, 14 kids. So it really is kind of fun to read through.
Yes. And another thing I think that's be interesting for the people to know, that you can go right on the computer and print out all these genealogy forms so that you can hand them out at your picnic family reunions this summer, and people can fill them out. Take your tape recorder, get the people to tell their stories and gather them together, and you'll be surprised how much fun it is.
Barbara, thank you so much for being with us today. The time flew by. Appreciate it very much. Barbara Banks, our guest today, and it was a lot of fun talking with her about tracing your family tree. You can probably trace her if you go to Barbara Banks. You'll find a whole lot about her, too, or even go to our Facebook page. Thank you for listening today. Tomorrow we'll talk about with two authors, one about titled Beyond the Trees. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.